Amen, Father God. Oh, Lord Jesus. We just come to you thanking you for this Sabbath day that you have given us. What a blessing it is to be in your presence in this holy home. And Father, we come to you asking for forgiveness of our sins. We need that forgiveness. We need you to purify our bodies and our minds and our hearts. And we know that you're a righteous and just God that does forgive us of our sins. Lord, we want to be in a position and condition to receive your blessings, to be in your presence. So be with us today. Use me today, Lord, as I surrender to you to be the words that you need spoken. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, we got to be in forgiveness, don't we? In fact, let me, 1 Kings, where's it at? 1 Kings 14:8. I know this one. 1 Kings 14:8. And this one's really kind of neat. 1 Kings 14:8. And this is God talking. And it says, "And tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you. And yet you have not been as my servant David, who kept all my commandments and who followed me with all his heart only to do what was right in my eyes." Here's God saying that David kept all his commandments. Now, wasn't David an adulterer and a murderer? And he sent Uriah to the front lines, and so he definitely, you know, so how could God be sitting here saying that David kept all his commandments? And I found this three times in the Bible, and it actually goes to show you, well, every time I see something three times, I really start paying attention. I'm like, okay, there's something significant about this. But it just goes to show you that God not only forgives us of all of our sins, he literally forgets every one of our sins. Amen? Do we have an awesome God or what? And I'm telling you, every one of us here, we are on a fresh, clean day with the Lord. And the only person that's going to bring up those sins of the past, that's Satan coming back to you saying, "You're not good enough. Remember this? Oh, remember that 35 years ago?" You know, that's Satan doing that. So anyway, but that's what the Bible says. Now, I'll give you a lot of my culinary career tomorrow. I'll save some of that culinary stuff for tomorrow. Back in Las Vegas, I was actually the youngest executive chef ever of a casino in Las Vegas and doing big, massive events, sometimes for 30,000 people. And so, you know, volume type of thing. But I'll save a lot of that for tomorrow. Catering for all these celebrities, I actually opened up my own catering company. And catering, I mean, I had my catering trucks. I mean, my vans were painted exactly like ambulances. Yeah, and they said, like, on the sides it would say "food to die for," and the top said "emergency catering," you know. We had the gurneys that came out of the back, you know, with all the food on it and things like that. So entertaining the entertainers. But business was so good that I actually went down and applied for my liquor and gaming license, and I got it. Now, it's very difficult to get a liquor and gaming license in Las Vegas. You have to go through all these FBI background checks. The application fees alone are just so expensive. And I did this with no partners and just paid the money and went through the process. They actually call your grade school teachers to find out what type of character you have. I mean, it's pretty in-depth. And then you have to go and peer in front of the gaming review board. And there's this panel of judges up there, and they're all perched up in this high area, and you have to go there and confess your sins. You do. It's like, yes, I did this, and I did this, and oh, yeah, I did that too. And as long as you confess your sins, the gaming review board comes up and says, "We have abolished you of all your sins. You are now granted your gaming license." Well, that's what they do. It's crazy. And now if you tried to hide something, even if it was as little as a traffic ticket, they would not give you your license, and you had to start the whole process all over. But I couldn't believe some of the people that they were giving gaming licenses to with all the crimes that they had committed. But as long as you confessed them, they were okay with that. And so I got my liquor and gaming license, opened up a casino. Now, it wasn't one of the big casinos like you see on television. I'm sure you got casinos around here too, don't you? I think so, yeah. But it wasn't one of the itty-bitty ones either. My dance floor was actually about the size of this room here. My stage, actually about the same size as this stage. And my place was the hangout for all the FBI agents, all the CIA workers, city officials, big time, police officers. That was their hangout. And I didn't even carry donuts. But that's where they were all the time. And if you have built-in security like I did, all the girls that worked the nightclubs, they would always come in my place. Plus, I had really good food. But if you got the girls, then you got the guys. So it was like the perfect mix for Sin City. And let me tell you, those slot machines make a lot of money. There was times we were pulling $20,000 a week out of a slot machine. I mean, they can make a lot of money. And my job ended up being where I would go to other casinos and sit down and entice people to come to my property. Sit down and where's the dollar players? I'd sit right next to the dollar players, you know, and give them free meals, say, come over for a steak dinner, and then I'd take care of the bartender, you know, and get them. And more often than not, you'd see them in my property. And it was a very busy, busy property. But, you know, after you get in that point, I could do anything I wanted to do, buy anything I wanted to buy. I just didn't feel like that was where I needed to be. And God kept impressing upon me. And he kept saying, Mark, I got something better for you. And, of course, I wasn't listening to God. I was having too much of the worldly type of things going on. And just to let you know, I was raised Catholic. My mom and dad took me to church every Sunday, and I was actually the altar boy at church until I got taller than the priest. Then they finally said, no, we got to get somebody else up here. This just doesn't look right. So, and then I left the Catholic church the day I left home to go to college. Part of that 92%, according to the Barna Group, 92% of the kids leave the faith within 2 years of leaving home. So I was part of that 92%. So here I am in Las Vegas, business is booming, but I just didn't feel like that was where I should be. And God just kept impressing upon me and kept impressing upon me. I really started to see all the devastation that was going on with that gaming business. I mean, moms coming in with their half-naked kids, looking for their boyfriends or husbands who were blowing the paychecks in the slot machines. Oh, and you'd see them. Oh, they'd be storming in there. You'd see that big old tone, and it was like, oh boy, here we go again. And my team, they knew how to deal with situations like this. It happened that often that my team was trained. And we'd separate the kids from the parents, get them in the kitchen. Usually they were starving, so we'd get them something to eat. And then we'd break up the fight that was going on. And women too, women in there blowing their paychecks. You know, and God just said, Mark, I got something better for you. I had one kid did an armed robbery the day after he blew his paycheck in the slot machines. And my bartender was showing me the article in the paper. I mean, time and time and time again. They started allowing credit card machines in the casinos and everything. And my bartender had the credit card swiper. So you could swipe your credit card and she can give you cash. And when they started allowing credit card machines in the casinos, sales went up. People, $100 here, $100 there. I didn't think nothing of it. I was like, hey, this is working good. I remember one person in particular. She'd swipe that credit card, $100 here, $100 there, and I didn't think nothing of it. And then one day I was back behind the bar doing a liquor count, and I could hear her with my bartender, and she was like, here, see if you can get $10 off this credit card. And then she'd try another one. Here, try this one for $10. No, that didn't. Here, try it for $5. I mean, she was trying every credit card in her purse, trying to get $5 to play a slot machine. I mean, isn't that horrible? You know, well, that's nothing compared to finding her with a bullet in her head, committing suicide, and orphaning 3 kids. You know, that's what Satan does. That's his job, to kill and destroy and rob. And I mean, how do you think it felt to be at that funeral? And everybody pointing the finger saying, hey, I know where the money went. You know, well, I never went to a funeral. And I said to myself, am I getting that desensitized by this industry that I never went to a funeral? See, being a casino owner, I'm not supposed to care where the money's coming from or what's happening to the people when they leave. You know, but I tell you what, I got down on my knees and I prayed and prayed and I said, Lord, I know you got something better for me. What do you want me to do? Make me the person you want me to be. And that's when I really started listening to God. See, there's a lot of people listening to God with their ears, but they're not listening to God with their actions, doing what God wants them to do. Look up the word listen in the dictionary, okay? One of the definitions of the word listen is actually obedience. Yeah. We need to be doing what God is asking us to do. And my lease was up and everything, and I said, you know what? I said, I know God's got a better plan for me. And I got out of that business, and I've never been back since. Yeah, started listening to God with action, doing. And I ended up getting married. I thought I married Miss Wright, but I did not know her first name was Always. Yeah, I married Miss Always Wright, and... long story short, when the money was gone, so was she. And she knew how to save money. I mean, she'd save $1,000 on that new car, and she'd save $100 on every new pair of shoes. She'd save almost save me right into bankruptcy is what she did. And I was so far in debt, I ended up living in my car for a couple months until I could get a paycheck. And thank God I've got a godly wife now. My wife Brenda's here tonight and today, and what a blessing it is to have a godly woman in your life. I mean, absolute blessing. So here I was back then, and penniless, and kind of looking at God saying, what's going on here? Now, see, God tests a lot of people. He tests a lot of people through their prosperity, and a lot of people get lessons through their poverty. And the richest neighborhoods do the least amount of tithing. The richest neighborhoods have the least amount of churches. And, you know, they're like, what do I need God for? I got everything I need. And then when people hit rock bottom, they give up on God. They're like, okay, we tried it your way. That sure didn't work out. They were testing God in a way they should not be testing God. And I said to myself, no. I knew I was going through a humbling process and everything. And I said, I'm going to get even closer to Christ. And I started spending time on my knees every single day. Now, 15 minutes a day on your knees, that is 1% of your day. And if you will just start spending 1% of your day with Christ every morning, He'll change your life. Just 1%. You know, and I started going to different churches in Las Vegas. Over 200, like Harry was saying, over 200 churches that I went to in Las Vegas. Different denominations. I could not find a decent church. I mean, every church, they got churches for whatever sins you want. Vegas has a church for you. They do. It's crazy. There's churches inside the casinos. And I'm not talking the ones you get married at. I'm not talking the chapels. I'm talking actual pastors that rent out property in the casinos to have their church. This is what's going on. I know pastors that actually meet with the congregation and have cocktails before service. Other ones have cocktails up on the pulpit when they're speaking. One pastor... I have an article in the paper. He actually gives classes on how to play slot machines after service. And he justifies it with the Bible. He's like, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. And if you're not winning on those slot machines, you're not doing something right with God. I've talked to him. It's like, yeah, I'm going to give him my tithing dollars. You know, I finally quit going to church altogether. I said, that's it. I can't go to these churches, many, many, many services for years. But I stayed in study. I stayed in prayer. I stayed reading the Bible every single day. I stayed on my knees every single day. And it doesn't happen in a day or a week or a month. It was month after month after month after year after year after year of being on my knees every single day. And I finally got to the point where I was like, you know, I had no desire to drink or smoke or gamble or go anywhere but focus on Christ in everything I say and do. You know, and then I was watching television. I run across 3ABN. And I'm like, they're teaching the whole message. And the more I watched, I was like, they were just validating what God had just spent the last half a dozen years teaching me. And I was like, wow. And I knew about the Sabbath. You know, my brother's married to a Jewish lady. And so I always wondered why people were not honoring the Sabbath the way they should. And everything started clicking, you know. And I'm watching 3ABN. Started sending them donations. You know, I was like, oh, you guys are doing so good. So I was sending them donations and everything. And then I got a call from them, and they said, why don't you come out and do a cooking show? And I was like, sure, I can cook, you know. And so I paid for a plane ticket, went out there and did a couple shows. And I actually went back a couple times, did a few more. And then I just got baptized 7 years ago by Jim Gilley over at 3ABN. Yeah, and God has used me ever since. Of course, I'm like Isaiah 6:8, all right? I'm like, you know, send me, I'll go, you know. I got excited about serving the Lord, amen? I'm telling you, there's so many people back in Las Vegas. Just not too long ago, I had a person come up to me, and they're like, they knew me from the casino business. And they were like, Mark, you were making that kind of money in those slot machines? Man, you need to get back in that business. And I just looked at them. I said, why would I ever go back to Egypt when I see the promised land right in front of me? Amen? I mean, we are this close to the promised land. This is not the time to be running back to Egypt. Oh, this world is so upside down. And Satan has had thousands of years to turn this upside down. That's why more than anything, you need to pray for discernment. That's where you get godly wisdom and godly knowledge. In fact, let me share this with you right here. Proverbs 2:3-5. Proverbs 2:3-5. Pray for discernment. Ellen White talks about discernment more than any other subject in the Bible. Look it up, row after row after row, page after page. Proverbs 2:3-5. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Mm-hmm. And that's what it takes to really filter out all these things that Satan is bombarding us with. I mean, Vegas is crazy. And it's throughout the whole world nowadays. I mean, the billboards, I can't even show you the billboards in Vegas. They got billboards in Las Vegas that say, don't believe the truth. That's all it says. Doesn't even have a company name on it or anything. Other ones that say, obey the serpent. Luck is everywhere, luck, luck, luck. We got a new poster that we took a picture of, a billboard, and it's for a nightclub. And it says, come pray. No, it says, come worship with us on Thursday nights. The way Vegas prays. You know, go to the nightclub. Yeah, this is it's just crazy. And luck is everywhere. Luck, luck, luck. Can't go to the restroom without somebody wishing you good luck in Vegas there. Oh, and luck. Luck was derived from Lucifer to take favor away from God. How come every time something good happens in your life, you are lucky? But every time something bad happens in your life, oh, that was from God. That was meant to be. Excuse me? If something good happens in your life, we need to give God the praise and glory and thanks. Amen? Not be sitting here calling it luck. And if something bad happens in your life, I guarantee you Satan had something to do with it. But Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those that love and serve the Lord and are called. It's one of those things that Satan just does these things so far upside down. We got to pay attention and see these things. Satan I mean, nowadays, Satan actually puts people in a state of hope. Yeah, it's crazy. Let me see if I got this here. I got some hope for you here today. No, that's bananas. That's tomorrow. Here. Hope. This is going to blow you away. This is really going to blow you away. These are definitions of hope in the Bible, okay? There's some good ones. Confidence, hope, safety, security, boldly, assurance. Now, these are definitions of hope in the Bible, too. To be careless is a definition of hope in the Bible. To attach oneself without care, carelessness. Another definition here. The folly of relying upon any other type of security, strongly contrasted with depending on God alone. They're actually bipolar, basically. One who is overconfident and shows no caution whatsoever. Definition of hope. And my favorite one, an expressed sense of resignation. There is nothing more one can do. That's a definition of hope. So we've got to understand something here. There's a big difference between hope being a noun, our hope is Jesus Christ, and hope being a verb, which is the earthly, ungodly hope. But see, Satan has bundled it all together into one package. He does this bundling effect. He puts all this together and puts a little bow on it, and then he presents it to people saying, all you need is hope and everything's going to be fine. It's actually a form of insanity. Now, you know what insanity is, right? That's doing the same thing over and over but expecting a different result. That's what people are doing with hope today. They're hoping for the same thing over and over and over but expecting a different result. It's crazy. They're hoping the economy changes, or they're hoping administrations can do something. They're hoping they get a job without ever actually looking for a job. It's crazy. I mean, is there going to be hope in heaven? No, because we're going to have our hope fulfilled in heaven. Amen? And that's the way we need to be here on earth today, is having our hope fulfilled, knowing that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, not hoping that he is a Lord and Savior. Are you catching the difference between these two? But this is the way Satan works. He works so slowly. People don't notice these little things. Oh, and people just, they're just waiting on the Lord. Let me share this one with you real quick here. Waiting on the Lord. People like, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord does not mean to sit there and do nothing. Now, there are times that you need to wait on the Lord. You need to wait in silence and things like that. But if you go to Hosea 12:6, it's really interesting how Satan just changes one little thing here and there. Waiting on the Lord. Hosea 12:6, here's what it says. The NIV version says, wait for the Lord. Now, I've got the King James Version here, which says, wait on your God continually. And the original version says, to serve the Lord always. So here's different Bibles that go from serving the Lord always to waiting for the Lord. Exact opposite, just because a couple words were changed. Yeah. Now, we're supposed to wait on the Lord like a waiter or waitress waits on somebody in a restaurant. That's what waiting on the Lord means. Do things with action, serving him. But the whole world is so upside down. They're, you know, and everybody's got this self about them. Self, self, self. You know that scripture, I think it's in Philippians. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not supposed to be that way. If you go to the original, it says, I do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you put the I can, you're putting yourself into something that you have not the power to do. You want to humble yourself and understand that it's God doing these things through you. You know, it's like in the Sabbath school today. What a great Sabbath school, by the way. We got to get to those Sabbath schools so we can understand all these little deceptions and things like that that Satan does. Learn more. Iron sharpens iron, amen? And so he's doing this with hope. He's doing it with grace. Oh, grace nowadays. Grace, 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 grace everywhere. Oh, I mean, it's bombarded society. And it used to be something so reverent and so precious, and it just got cheaper and cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. Now we have free grace for everybody. Free grace, free grace, free grace. I would much rather have you call it priceless grace. I mean, do you know the price that was paid on that cross for what you think of as free grace? You know, and I'm telling you, there's a lot of different definitions, different types of grace. You know, when it comes to salvational grace, you actually want the least amount possible. Romans 6:1, shall we sin thus grace may abound? Certainly not. God forbid. So there's different types of grace, but Satan just, you know, fragmentizes. He does this fragmentation out there. All you need is grace and everything's fine. Just all you need is grace. You know, and there's another thing that Satan does. Let's see here. With faith, here we go to self again. People think that it's faith that saves. Well, it's not your faith that's saving. You know, we all think we are saved by faith. You're not saved by your own faith. It is the covenant that Christ has with us. It's his faith that is the saving faith. You cannot save yourself. That's why we need a savior. But Satan just kind of twists things around a little bit. And a lot of these churches, you'll see churches out there, we're the grace church, and we're the faith church, and we're the obedient church, and we're the hope church. And see, Satan's just trying to divide, because if he divides, then he can conquer. You got to understand, we can't go to heaven without grace, amen? You can't go to heaven without faith. You can't go to heaven if you're refusing to obey God's commandments. We need all of it. We need the whole package. That's the one thing that really drew me into the Adventist church, is they're teaching the whole message in the whole Bible, not just bits and pieces of it. You know, time is too short. We really need to do a full 180 here. You know, we were on that airplane and I hear these people and they're saying, oh, I do just well because I've got God as my co-pilot. Well, if God is your co-pilot, switch seats with him. Amen? Allow him to be the pilot. And with the children's story, talking about the sicknesses and infections, one of the biggest problems we have, there's this thing out there called a super infection. Have you heard about this? I mean, it's killed thousands of people now. And you may have a sickness, right? And if you don't get rid of that entire sickness, let's say you don't take all your meds or you just didn't quite get rid of it, sometimes a little bit of that illness, a little 10% is still hanging on, and then it comes back with a vengeance into this super infection, which no medicines can cure. And see, that's what a lot of people are doing today. They're still hanging on to 10% of their sin. They're hanging on to 10% of their little infection that Satan is still getting on them. And we need to get rid of that so that it doesn't come back and bite us in the long run. Give Christ a total commitment. We need to give him everything we got, not just a percentage. You know, not 10%, 20%, 90%. Give him 100%. I mean, would it be okay, let's say, if you married somebody who was only going to give you a 70% commitment? Would that be okay? Or how about if your spouse only cheats on you 30% of the time? Now, aren't we supposed to be preparing ourselves as the bride for the most spectacular wedding in the history of the universe? And we need to be doing this with a total commitment, not just a fraction of it. Amen. Let me see if I got a perspective here for you. Here, this is from The Great Controversy, page 595. The multitudes do not want biblical truth because it interferes with the desires of the sinful, world-loving heart, and Satan supplies the deceptions which they love. But God will have a people upon the earth to maintain the Bible and only the Bible as the standard of all doctrines and the basis of all reforms. Satan is now putting forth his utmost efforts for a final struggle against Christ and his followers. The last great delusion is soon to open before us. Antichrist is to perform him marvelous works in our sight, So closely will the counterfeit resemble the truth that it will be impossible to distinguish between them except by holy scriptures. None but those who have fortified the mind with the truths of the Bible will stand through the last great conflict. And we are getting into that last great conflict, so we've got to get in the Bible. Read more, study more, pray more. Go to those Sabbath schools. Go to those Bible studies. Go to those prayer meetings. Get involved. We want to be a tight, tight group that, you know, we keep sharpening each other. That's what we need. So, and pray for discernment. Oh, we need discernment more than anything. In fact, there's a lady in prison back in Las Vegas. She's serving a life sentence for murder. Killed a woman and her unborn baby. Born and raised Seventh-day Adventist. Yeah. And she just got in with the wrong group of people and got into those drugs and alcohol and everything. And her aunt wanted me to write her a letter. So I wrote her a letter and another and another. And this was about 5 years ago. I've been writing quite often to her. And she actually ended up... I had to go through every step with one person, go through forgiveness and salvation and sanctification and Bible studies, and she finally came back to the Lord, quit working on the Sabbath. They put her in a room with 20 other girls as punishment for not working, but she stuck to it. God put her in a job working Monday through Friday at the loading docks, and after she was there for a year or so, she asked her boss if she could bring in a portable baptismal. She brought in, and there's a pastor from Northern Nevada, Al, he comes down, and they had a baptism in prison and baptized 19 girls. This is a girl in prison doing more than most of us are doing out here. And they've had, I don't know how many baptisms now. The biggest one had 29 baptisms. And I'm telling you, you talk about discernment. This girl's in prison, and her character has changed so much that even the guards have told me that she's the real deal. And when people, inmates, have problems, they send them to her. And they're testing her character, you know, so you've got to have that discernment. So, yeah, pray for discernment. All right, I'm going to do a little painting for you, and we'll have a nice little painting time.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. Sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on saying. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord.
my strength is failing. The end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then
Amen.
As you leave this morning, you will be given an opportunity to make a contribution towards Mark's expenses as he travels around the country, blessing others as he has this morning. I'd like you to take your bulletin under Church Life. It tells about the places he will be this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Come back for his seminar. And tomorrow is his main cooking show for those of us at Paradise Valley Church. 3 o'clock, across the street, down in the fellowship hall. This is the perfect bringing event. Bring someone who normally wouldn't come to church, but they will be blessed by coming to the cooking show at 3 o'clock. Now, the last two lines, there's a change. The same cooking show will be presented at Poway Monday evening, not tomorrow. From today, that would be Sunday. It's Monday evening at the Poway Adventist Church at 6 p.m. Tuesday, if there's anyone who's working tomorrow, cannot come tomorrow, they're welcome to come to Paradise Village at 3 p.m. on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, it's not at Poway, but it's at the Grace Covenant Church out in Spring Valley. So please note those changes from the bulletin. Mark will be back with us shortly to finish.
Amen. Yeah, God gets all the glory. We know that. Yes, God gets all the glory. I leave these for the church, too. So a lot of people raise money for Oshkosh or put it in a young adult room or something like that. Tomorrow I get to do one blindfolded, so that's a whole nother picture. But see, God has a purpose for every one of us. It's just a matter of getting on that path and starting to take those steps of action. Don't go looking at the path all the time. Get on that path and actually start doing things. You know, James 1:22, be ye not just hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. And I'm telling you, God has purpose for us. He really does. Let me see. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So let's take all of our heart, search for the Lord in a way we have never searched before, and he will guide your path beyond measure. And amen. Oh, Father God, Lord, we come to you in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for what a blessing it is to be in your presence. Spark us, Lord. Give us that energy and that desire and that passion. Father, I pray that you will reach the people here and remove all of their desires. Remove our desires, Lord, and replace them with the desires you want us to have so that we really can run this race with passion. We want to be on fire for you, Lord, not just a lukewarm that's going to be spewed out. Father, we know that Satan is attacking us in so many ways and shooting these arrows and bigger and more of them. But we know we have a powerful ally that will protect us from all these challenges. And we know Satan's just doing that because he knows his last arrow is soon to be shot. And you're coming forth to take us home for all eternity. And we take that step today, that first commitment for the rest of our eternal lives, that we will dedicate ourselves and surrender ourselves to you, Lord, like you surrendered yourself on the cross for us. We want to be that servant. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I can leave this here.